Amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, you can go to John chapter 4 and verse 46. This is part 3 of our healing series. We titled it Faith for Healing. And what are we trying to do? Build your faith for healing. Amen. You know, you ought to probably spend every day meditating on healing scriptures. You know, the Bible says that in Proverbs 4 and verse 20 that the word can translate to health to your flesh. And Jesus talked about the word, to feed on the word, but he called it the daily bread. Amen? You ought to be feeding on it daily. Praise God. Well, John chapter 4 and verse 46, Father, help us tonight. Help me to do what you want me to do, to share what you want me to share, to say what you want me to say. But Father, help the people to receive, give them ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Father, may our hearts be opened. Father, may our minds be renewed, Father, to the word, to what you have for us. Father, speak to us. Bullseyes hit tonight. Boldness and utterance. Father, we need to hear from heaven. We're looking to you, Father. We're not looking for man's plans or man's ideas. So, Father, we know one service can change the course of our life, can change the destiny, can overturn things, Father. So we go higher tonight, Father. We conform more to your image, to your will, Father. And we thank you that you've begun a good work in us. You will complete it till the day of Jesus. So, Father, thank you for this opportunity tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm not doing any review because it's just the way the Holy Ghost is leading that each service is kind of a little different, but you can go online and look at those, of course. But in John 4 and verse 46, it says that Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman there whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he, the son, was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said unto him, go your way, your son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him and went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then inquired he of them the hour that he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that same hour which Jesus said unto him, your son lives, and himself believed in his whole house. This again is the second miracle Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Hallelujah. I was excited when I was spending time with the Lord and this came up in my heart to share. You know, the word of God is written for our admonition. Yeah, right. You know, the Bible says that there, if the works of Jesus had all been written down, all the books of the world wouldn't even be able to contain them. Of course, back at that time, the books of the world, that would have to be a true statement or the Bible would be a lie. And so there was so much that was not recorded, but what was recorded was for our benefit. Yeah. It was for our learning. It was for our help. And we can learn some things here. And I'm just going to share that which the Holy Spirit put on my heart to share concerning this service. But here we see a man, again, had a dire, dire situation. And his son is at the point of death. And he receives his healing. And so let's find out what we can find out about this here. But the first thing I want to say that ties in with last week and the week before and what we're talking about with the title of this series is faith for healing. Because you can have faith for your own healing. Amen? We find that, and we see this in this story, which is exciting, that will help you because there's a lot of misconceptions and wrong ideas in the body of Christ, and a lot of Christians have strongholds, actually, of things that just aren't true. And the devil doesn't attack with truth. The devil attacks with untruth, and he uses that, but then people grab onto it like it is truth, and it can leave them in despair, it can leave them in a place of oppression, and that's not where we want to be. But the first thing I want to point out that we've been saying the last 2 weeks is, your faith is enough. And you need to know that. You know, I don't know if some preachers like to have people to rely on them, and so maybe they wouldn't share this as boldly, I don't know, or the devil will let people know that, or try to get people to think that they can't do it on their own. I don't know what the motivation is, but I'm here to tell you, your own faith is enough. Yeah. Praise God. You know, when you think about the man that sat at Paul's feet, that the first service we looked at, Paul perceived that that man had faith to be healed, and he received his healing because he had the faith, praise God. The woman with the issue of blood, she had faith. Blind Bartimaeus had faith. But I want to show you this, that the cool thing about this portion of Scripture that points out is Jesus didn't even go to the man's house. Did you notice that? Jesus didn't even go to the man's house. Let's see where it was. It says, the nobleman said to him, Sir, verse 49, come down or my child's going to die. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke unto him, and he went his way. The man had faith. And so here's the thing that you need to understand is, and this is why this will help you, and you need to understand this for yourself, because I'll tell you what, when you're in the midst of sickness and disease, and it's late at night, and you're all alone, and the pain is bearing down on you, it's a lonely place to be. And when you're in the corporate anointing, and you got a pastor shouting at you, or people praising and worshiping God, and you're in a meeting, there's an atmosphere that's not in your home at 2 a.m. in the dark. When you're laying in bed and the pain's there and the thoughts are ripping through your head of how it's just getting worse and it's never going to get better. Here's what you need to understand. You don't need Jesus to show up at your house. You don't need your pastor to be there to make sure to get this sickness off your body. Jesus, notice this, that Jesus didn't even go to his house and the man received his healing. No minister had to show up. There was no transaction of laying on of hands. There was no anointing. There was no dousing with anointing oil. It was just somebody that believed what? The word that Jesus had spoke. Praise God. And here's the thing. Jesus showed up at places. And even when Jesus showed up at places, it was no guarantee of success. Jesus showed up in Nazareth in Mark chapter 6. There he was in all his glory, ready to heal, ready to do signs, wonders, and miracles. He's in the midst because we think if we could just get the minister, right? If we could just get a word spoken to us, if we could just have hands laid on us. Well, those things are all well and good and biblical, but your faith's enough to do this, praise God. And Jesus showed up certain places and people didn't even receive. How about with the woman with the issue of blood? The Bible said there were many thronging Jesus. But the Bible only points out that power only went out for one person. There they had Jesus in their midst, and they thought, well, he's here, now everything's going to be fixed. Apparently their faith wasn't where it needed to be. But if you can get your faith where it needs to be, you can receive your healing. Go with me to James 5:13. I love this, to point this out. My job's to empower you, not hold you down. To tell you the truth, and truth will empower you. And you know, I'm fine with laying out of hands. I'm fine with agreeing with you in prayer. But I'm just here to tell you that your faith is also enough. Look what it says in James 5:13. Is any among you afflicted? The question is. And then the next thing says, if any among you is afflicted, then you better get a hold of the prayer team. That's not what it says. If any among you is afflicted, you better hope for a visitation from Jesus or an angel. No, if any among you is afflicted, make sure, if you can't get the pastor on speed dial, oh, you're in trouble. No, 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 no. If any among you is afflicted or going through things, the Bible says let him pray. What's he saying? Your prayers, your faith is enough to pull you out. Unfortunately, their lack thereof is enough to keep you there, though. That's the truth, too. But I love this. I don't need Brother Hagin to show up. I don't need Pastor Nancy. If I can't get a hold of the pastor, what do? I can use my faith. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And I love when it goes on down in the rest of that verse, and it really talks about the power of prayer, the power of releasing. You know, Mark 11:24, of releasing your faith, it's just one other form of prayer. But it talks about how the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available just by a person. A human being, not a minister, not a prophet, not a traveling, not a TV so-and-so. You can do it, praise God. Hallelujah. That's exciting to me. You might be waiting a long time for a gift of the Spirit. You might be waiting a long time for a word.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. But faith can always take it. And faith can always take it now, praise God. But we have to understand something. Go back to John chapter 4 and go to verse 40. John 4 and verse 40. Many of this stuff that we talk about, I mean, really a lot of the stuff we talk about, you know, that's why I'm excited for the people that are going MTC. They're going to learn things that I can't share on a Saturday night or Sunday mornings, because it's not really for to live life and to go and to be successful and victorious in the sense that it's more of a ministry-type training thing, and there's just different things there. So a lot of stuff we share on Saturdays and Sundays, you've heard before, but that's okay because that's how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing. And in John chapter 4 and verse 50, Jesus said unto him, "Go your way, your son lives." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. Now, it's important that you are grounded and recognize in your own situations of how faith works. Yes, faith can do it. Yes, faith can change things. But we have to understand one of the major principles of faith, and it's so elementary, but it trips people up so much, is believing it before seeing it.
Yeah.
See, that's, I know that's how faith is. I know, but that's what's causing a lot of people to stumble and trip up and not receive, because they've not grasped it or taken hold of it until they can see it. That's not faith. Notice the Bible says that Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives," and he believed the word. He didn't believe a report from them calling or texting him from the house that your son's better. There was no way of that. There was no newspaper. There was no courier. There was nothing that let him know. The only thing he had faith in was the word that Jesus spoke, not anything that he could see, feel, touch, or hear. Amen. Go to Mark 11, 24. Go to Mark 11, 24. This is a stumbling block for people. Mark 11, 24 says, "Therefore I say unto you," I love this. This is such a word. You know, Brother Hagin said it this way, that no greater words ever fell from the Master's lips concerning faith than Mark 11, 23 and 24. They are absolute invitations for your whole world to change. Your body, your money, your kids, your situation, your environment, your whole life. Here it is, the invitation from the Master, if we'll just cooperate with this. "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire," notice this next three words, when you pray. That's a specific timeline. That's a specific time frame. Well, let me tell you this, that the reason you're praying is why. Remember what James 5:13 says? If any among you is afflicted, the result should be prayer. So when you pray is when you're afflicted. Now, that's not the only time we pray, but I'm talking about receiving something. Prayer, praise and worship is the highest form of prayer, and praise and worship is not a prayer of taking. The prayer of praise and worship is a prayer of giving. Now, Mark 11, 24 is a prayer of receiving, and that's okay, because the Bible says, ask and you'll receive. You know, he offers you that. But we know this, that when we're praying, a lot of times, is in the afflicted place. It's in the place of trouble. That's why you're praying, right? That's why you're reaching out to him about your money, about your body, about your kids, because there's an affliction going on. But in Mark 11, 24, you have to know something. It's important that it says, in that place, in that time frame of when you're praying in the place of affliction, when you pray, your job is to believe you receive. That means it's telling you that in that place of pain, in that place of lack, in that place of depression, of fear, of oppression, of anxiety, of whatever negative thing that you're trying to get out of, in that place when you can feel it, see it, right, hear it, whatever, touch it. You're to believe the outcome is different. You're to believe you receive it at that point. It doesn't say believe you receive it when you have it. Believe you receive it when you prayed it, when you're what? Afflicted. And I know right now, I see it on people's faces, light bulbs are going, oh, this is why I don't receive. Because how many people actually fully believe they receive it in the place of affliction? Not a whole lot. They don't. Not a whole lot do. Not a whole lot. We have a lot of Thomas Christians running around. What's a Thomas Christian? They need to see it before they'll believe it. But Jesus said that's not how you're blessed. He said, Thomas, you believe because you saw, but the blessed ones are the ones that believe that don't see. Well, the way I like to look at it is this. One translation of Mark 11:24 says this. It says, therefore I say to you, what things shall we desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. And instead of that, it says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, take them. Take them, and then you'll have them. What's he saying? In the place of prayer, the transaction of receiving happens. Now, the transaction of manifesting hasn't happened, but the transaction of receiving. What do I mean receiving? I don't mean receiving in the natural. The money may not have come. The sickness may not have gone away. But in your heart, by faith, you've received that thing. Real quick, go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hallelujah. One time I was meditating on things of faith, and we'll go to chapter 11, verse 1. I'm meditating on this of receiving, and the Lord reminded me, because it's about believing you received it before it manifests. So it's not it's talking about a receiving it by the heart, of grasping it by faith, and faith is of the heart. You know, it's kind of like this, is what the Lord showed me one time. You know, online shopping is more and more prevalent, you know, all the time now, especially with coronavirus and just as, you know, Amazon takes over the world, you know, it's just, pretty much own everything, it seems like. It's like everybody's buying everything online and so, but whatever, you know. But anyway, so when you order something online, you know, you at least for me, like, especially with hunting stuff, there's a difference. I'll just say it this way. I get excited when I order stuff for hunting. It's like you do. I can feel your enthusiasm. You know, when you're ordering that new camo and the boots, you know, you get thrilled about that stuff. I get thrilled. I mean, I remember the first time I ever walked into a Cabela's and I thought that if this isn't heaven, I mean, there were geese hanging from the ceilings and elk everywhere. I was like, this has to be heaven. I must have been raptured. And I was pretty overwhelmed, you know. And then so when I order stuff, before I get on there, and so I get online or you know, over the phone, whatever, mostly online, there's something that changes from when you put your credit card in, press send or whatever, and then you get that confirmation back with some numbers and letters and says, this is your order. Something changes in me from before I did that. Now, I don't have it yet in my hands, but I have, something has changed where I know that thing's mine now, right? Even though it's not manifested and I haven't put my hands on it or used it, there's a difference before I went on, the days before I went on to when I went on now, put my credit card in, tells me I have a confirmation, I know that thing is mine. And what then do I switch over to? A full expectation of the manifestation of that product. Amen? Don't be too excited out there now, people. Just trying to help you here today. But that's how you think, because if you're having trouble in your mind thinking, how do I believe I receive? It's a faith belief that when you release your faith, releasing your faith is the same as putting in the credit card numbers. You release that, and then you get that confirmation back. Well, you say, where's my confirmation email? It's the Word. Remember the Bible said that the man believed the Word that Jesus spoke. He didn't even see the manifestation of the healing. He didn't hear of the manifestation of the healing. He just believed. He grabbed hold of it, right? At the time it happened, when the prayer went out, when Jesus said, "Go your way, your son lives." That's the equivalent of Mark 11:23 and 11:24. At that moment, the man said, "I got it. I believe it. I'm no longer in despair over my son. I'm no longer worried. I'm no longer fearful." Why? I've received it, praise God. Hallelujah. When I order something that's lacking in my life and my hunting supply, no longer is my brain under the idea of I need that anymore. No longer is my brain under the mentality of the idea that I'm lacking in that department. Yes, it hasn't showed up, but I know I've received that thing. Yeah. It hasn't manifested yet, but I've received it. Yeah. And it's no longer looking at it, "Oh, I'm struggling in that area. I don't have enough." And just like that guy said, he believed the word that Jesus spoke. Well, I don't have to be worried about what I'm going to find when I go home. I don't have to be worried about what's happening at home now. My son's fine. Yeah. Even though he didn't see it. But look at what it says in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. See, the gears are, you see, it's interesting when you preach sometimes. There's different flows in different services. The only way I can, tell you how things are going right now is the wheels are getting greased now. Finally, it was a little dry there at first. A little tough going for me. Felt like my words were bouncing off the back and hit me right in the forehead. But the wheels are being greased now. We're about to take off. So here we go. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, Kim Lai, would you pull up the Amplified for us? Now, faith is the assurance. The confirmation, that's what, don't you get a confirmation email that you ordered something? And don't you, when you get that email, even though you haven't touched it yet, even though you haven't tried it on, even aren't you excited it's yours now? Yeah. Even though you haven't put your hands on it, something changed. Something changed. Well, the Bible says faith is that confirmation email, the title deed, I love that, of the things we hope for being the proof of things we do not see in the conviction of the reality, faith perceiving as real fact, what does not reveal the senses. Title deed. I could show up tonight. How many of you know you get a title for your vehicle? You get a title deed for your home. I could say I just got back from the DMV or whatever, and I went to the store. I'm in the store. I could pull that thing out and say, I have proof that I own such and such a vehicle, right? Even though you've never seen the vehicle. Even though you've never touched the vehicle, never been in the vehicle, that title deed is proof to you that I own it. Well, the Bible says that your faith is proof. But what is the confirmation and the title deed? The confirmation and the title deed of our faith is exactly what that man stood on, which was what? He believed the word that Jesus spoke. Jesus' word was the title deed that when he got home, things are different. Hallelujah. And so many people are not at that place. They're in a place of need. They're in a place of having a desire. They want to release that faith, but when they release it, did they grab it? Did they seize it? Did they take hold of it? When they released their faith, was their healing reality to them? Did they all of a sudden know, I got my healing? Again, doesn't mean it's manifested, but you got it by faith. What's that mean? Just as much as you know that that package is going to show up at your door, that healing is going to manifest in your body. That's what faith looks like. That's what faith looks like. And if you're not there, you're not in faith. You're not in faith. Faith is not about praying. Many empty prayers go up and come back down and answer. Faith is not about just confessing. You can speak and speak and speak till you're blue in the face, but if they're not laced with faith, it's just empty words. Faith isn't just a certain arrogance or putting on a show to look like something. Faith is of the heart. You can't see it. Now, when there's true faith, it will show up in the outside, right? But you can fake some things. You know, the devil can fake things. The devil can put on a show too and fake some things. And people can fake worship. People can fake faith. But true faith that receives, empty words doesn't get you to receive. You can play the parts of faith, but if it doesn't stem from your heart, it's not faith. And faith is a receiving. And so let me ask you, those of you that are struggling financially, those that are struggling in their body, we're talking about healing, and you say, I'm in faith. Do you fully believe you've received your healing? If you're not there yet, then you need to go back and get that faith. And what's the title deed? Getting the word in you. Getting the word in you. Now, I want to help you understand this easier. Go to Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. This kind of goes along with, well, you know, the offering scripture I talked about where the Bible calls us rich. I'll be able to throw a little bit of that in there too, because I know some people, it's not healing you're struggling with, it's finances. But this will help you when you understand you're not trying to get healed. So many people are trying to get healed. No, that's not how you get healed. You receive your healing. You don't try to get it. You don't have to work up something. The hard part's already been done for you. Now you just receive it. Isaiah 53 and verse 4 says, surely Jesus has borne our griefs, that's our sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, that's pains. In the margin of my Bible, it translates those words correctly. Just look up a Hebrew concordance, you'll see that those words, griefs and sorrows, should not have been translated griefs and sorrows, but sickness and pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So he bore our sickness and pains. It says in verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we will be healed when it manifests. No. Because of the stripes of Jesus, we are already healed. We just now have to walk into that. Now that's where people need to renew their mind to what the Bible says. Because people always think, I'll be healed when this shows up. I'll be healed when the symptoms go away. No, that's like saying faith is a belief of the manifestation. It's not. Faith is a belief of what you can't see in the afflicted place. And he says you're already healed. God's view of you is you're already healed. Now your job is just to receive it. Not trying to get healed, just receiving what's already been made available. It's the same with 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. Jesus was made poor so you'd be rich. But what do people say? I'm not rich. Have you seen my money? Have you seen my checkbook? Have you seen my bills? Have you seen my salary? I'm not rich. Again, that's like saying I'll call myself rich when I can see a certain amount of so-and-so. No, you have to renew your mind to the way he sees you. He already sees you as rich. He already sees you as healed. But faith walks you into that thing. And you can't get there until you first grab it and receive it before you feel it or see it. And that's where people struggle so mightily. And how do you receive it? You receive it with your words. You receive it with your words. The Bible says they went without. In Hebrews 4, it says they didn't enter into rest. They didn't mix faith with the word. Well, what's the mixer? The tongue is the mixer. Jesus said, you'll have what you say. Jesus said, you'll have what you say. So here's how you get healed. You get the title deed of it, the word that tells you that you're healed. You meditate on that word, like we've talked about, until the faith rises. Remember we talked about the day star rising? Till you believe it. And then you just sit back, no matter how you're feeling, no matter how it looks, no matter what you're hearing and feeling and seeing and experiencing, and you just, thank you for my healing. Thank you for my healing. We make it way too hard. We do. We get in our brains about it, and the devil bombards us with how hard this is. Healing's not hard. The hard part's already done. He went to the cross, bore your sicknesses, bore your disease. Now it's just your job to, you know what faith really comes down to? It's just, to dumb it down as simply as you can, just agreeing with God. I'm not healed. You're just not agreeing with him. I'm not rich. He says you are, so we have a battle here, and he's not going to lose. You lose. And you'll lose out. It's just agreeing with him. Remember when Pastor Nancy preached on finances and Pastor Mike Anderson was embarrassed the whole service? Remember in Canada? Dr. Dufresne called out. I thought, man, I hit the jackpot till the next morning. And really, I did hit the jackpot the next morning too, but he calls out anybody that's extremely struggling. I don't remember his words, finances. Me and a pastor from Kansas came up and went up and he laid hands and spoke some things, you know. But then the next day, Pastor Nancy just decided she'd wanted to stand in front of me and preach a sermon, like almost the whole sermon in front of me, about preaching how it's not money you need, it's a mind renewal that you need. And which is what? Just conforming your mind to agree with what God says. See, here I'm saying, I'm in desperate need of money and the Bible's calling me rich. Well, a rich person is not in desperate need of money. Wrong thinking. Yeah. Until, and from that point on, I've never struggled financially again. There's been tests and trials. I got what she said. I mean, she looked at me and stood there, and everybody knew, because I don't even know if the pastor from Kansas came back the next morning. He's smarter than I was. He stayed home and waited till the night meeting, and she gave me a talking to in front of everybody. But I needed it. Yeah. Got to renew your mind to these things, people. Come on. Hallelujah. So you receive it, and always remember that, like ordering. You got that heart. You receive it by faith. You take it. Oh, I'm healed. I'm healed. And you're not concerned with the manifest. Do you want the manifestation? Of course. Of course, but there's an exchange there. Go with me back to John chapter 4 and verse 52. John 4 and verse 52. Just sharing what the Holy Spirit put on my heart. Your faith's enough, but you got to know what faith is. But John 4 in verse 52. Then the man inquired of them the hour which he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in which Jesus said unto him, your son lives, and himself believed in his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Notice that the Bible calls this a miracle. A miracle. And you're like, yeah, well, there was a kid that was going to die and now they're living. But it also points something out about this miracle. And this is, of course, the second miracle. The first miracle is when Jesus turned the water into wine. But look at what it says in verse 52. He inquired of them the hour in which he began to, what's the word? Amend. You know what the word amend means? To improve. To get better. How, have you ever heard the term or used in a way where you've wronged somebody or people are in a wrong relationship or they've done something wrong, and they say, we're going to begin to make amends. What are they doing? They're saying, we're going to start the process of fixing this, of making it better. To make amends doesn't mean everything's fixed at once. It means the process has started of it. Why am I telling you this? Jesus called, or the Bible called it a miracle, and it wasn't instantaneous healing. Do you see that? The boy at that hour began to improve, but he didn't fully come out of the woods at that moment in his sickness. And yet the Bible still calls it a miracle. And you know why many people miss their miracle? Because the devil has told them, because it hasn't happened instantaneously, that something's wrong with your faith and that it's not working. And it's a lie from the pit of hell. Doesn't Mark 16 and verse 18 say they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll instantly be completely whole? That's not what it says. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. What do they call that room after surgery? Recovery. It's not called, wouldn't it be nice, you come out of surgery, you go into that room, and they call that room a completely get better, total fix room. And you go home with no pain. You go home with no therapy. You go home with no medicine. Why? Because you sat in the 1 hour room that everything's fixed after surgery. No, they call it recovery. Because you're starting to recover from that surgery. Well, the Bible says lay hands on the sick and the recovery process happens. We thank God for instantaneous healings, but that's not the norm. You know why? It doesn't take much faith for the instantaneous. But you know what takes faith? Somebody that's in the place of afflicted, that's sicker than sick, more full of pain, doctor's reports, finances are hell on earth, it's a mess, you know, and they're in that place of affliction, and they release their faith, and they receive that by faith, and they dance and shout and rejoice and start thinking about what their life is like healed. They start confessing it, and they wake up the next day the same, and they're doing the same thing. And they wake up a week in the same position, and they're still praising and shouting. And a month goes by, and 6 months go by, and a year goes by, and they're still doing that. That's what faith looks like. And let's be honest, me included, we have dropped the ball in that area. But you need to know that just because your healing does not manifest right away does not mean your miracle is not happening. What if this man would have just went home and said, oh, it didn't work. His fever left, big deal, he's still sick. And no, it started to happen. Jesus called it a miracle. Praise God. This trips up so many people because in that time frame of when things aren't, because you get so built up in faith, right? And you're ready, like you are prepared to release your faith. And it's a cold, wet washcloth in the face the next morning. You wake up and nothing's changed. When weeks go by and you're still feeling the same way or even worse, and you remember how sold out you were to this, how built up you were to this faith, right? You know you believe it. You've released it and nothing's changed. And because it hasn't changed and time's gone by, people start to get in doubt and unbelief. And what do? They drop their miracle. Yeah, they let go. They don't hold fast anymore. But see, when you recognize and understand, that's not how it's supposed to work anyways. It'll be a blessing to you. You know, let me tell you a story. You like stories. I like stories. I remember, y'all don't know Clarence, but Clarence was a man that I got to go hunting with my dad and I growing up. You know, my dad, like I said, put shotguns in my hands. I mean, I remember the first time I ever shot at a deer, I couldn't even hold the gun up in the air. It was literally just both hands, all the body weight in it, pulling it up and just shooting who knows where the slug went, putting it down, cocking it again, you know. And so I was hunting with Clarence and my dad down in Frewsburg. Well before I should have, but Clarence would come over the night before, you know, he lived in Russell, Pennsylvania, it was only about a 15-minute drive, and we'd be there getting our hunting stuff ready, and we'd play the hunting videos. And I'd see in the hunting videos, oh my gosh, the bucks, they're killing on the videos. I mean, you can't even fit them through a doorway, they're so big. And they're killing them. I mean, there's a new person on there killing them every 5 minutes. Well, as a young boy, one time I was in, you know, when you're young, you have a little different view of things. I remember I was in the hospital. I had Perthes disease in my hip, and I was tied to a machine for weeks on end to strengthen my hip was deteriorated. And I remember my dad brought me a little Flash Gordon toy. You know Flash, the red and the yellow ears and the lightning bolt on his. You know, he had the Flash ears, the lightning ears. You know Flash. And it said that this toy was so fast that it would run through the walls. And I cried, and I cried, and I cried when I wound that toy up, and it would go like this and hit the wall. I thought, I don't understand. It says it's going to be so fast to run through a wall. Well, same thing. I see these videos, I thought, and here I was popping off with my mouth to my dad and Clarence, and I think about being an adult now and thinking of things, and I said, that's the buck I'm killing tomorrow. And I can't wait. I'm going to get that buck. I'm going to get out of the woods in time for breakfast. I'm going to get that thing. I mean, look at what they're killing on TV. And they kill them every 5 minutes. And I had a false idea of how it really works. That number one, the places I hunt, there isn't deer like that on the property. And you don't see all the hours of footage that they're not killing. Right. And you don't know the properties that they can hunt and the things they can do and manipulate and all that stuff. All you're seeing is them killing big deer. So I thought, Flash Gordon, go through a wall. That's what it says. Yeah. I can kill big deer every five. I mean, I'm going to get this huge buck. And they would laugh at me. And I'd say, I'm going to show them. And I'd go out and I'd sit there for the first hour and not even see a deer. in my spirits. What? Let the air out of the balloon. Why? I had a false idea of how of reality and how it's supposed to work. It doesn't work that way. What I have learned is that if they were around every corner, it wouldn't be as exciting. It wouldn't be as fun. Praise God. It just, it's rare, you know, to see these. And on TV, you see them like that. And it's like, well, there's a lot you're not seeing behind the scenes. But that's the same way it is with healing. Sometimes, I don't know, I have in the past, we get this in our mind that faith is when things change immediately. And if things don't change immediately, I'm either doing something wrong or it's not working for me. And what's happened? Doubt and unbelief has now creeped in. Crept in, I don't know. It's one of the eept or epts. But anyways, it's got there. It's there now. And now what? You've let go. You are no longer releasing your faith. You're no longer excited. You're no longer expecting. You're down in the dumps. Faith never has a down day. True faith doesn't. True faith is always in expectation. But so many people, because they've struggled with something for so long, and they remember the starting line when they got excited in a service like this, and they went out and released their faith, and months went by and didn't happen. Must be it's not going to happen for me. Oh, you've given in to the doubt. You've given in to the doubt. And you know what else I found with the deer hunting? That if I stick with it, and I'm faithful, and I do what I know to do, my day will come. And it does come. It's the same thing with faith. If you'll stick with it, hold fast to your confession, your day will come. But people let go of that. You know what's interesting? I'm glad some of these things were able to happen to me to be used. When I had gotten my appendix had ruptured in 2012, and, you know, it had ruptured for 3 days, which made it, you know, the thing way worse than it should have been. And I was in the hospital for over 2 weeks, and things happened in the hospital, and I had gotten things in my body from the poison that the doctor said there's some of these things that are going to take a year for them to clear up, but there's other things that you're potentially going to receive or be experiencing them for the rest of your life. Well, when I heard that, it's like, wait a minute, that's not what God says about these things. And so I got in, once I got off all the drugs and things, you know, and could think straight, started releasing my faith, getting in the Word and what it says. But you know what's interesting? When I went home from the hospital from that, after releasing my faith, I actually had another night where I passed out on the emergency room floor. I went home after having my appendix taken out, and it was like two or three nights later after I was home that I broke out into a sweat and had pain like I'd never felt before. Went to the hospital, bam, collapsed on the floor, passed out. Again, they're telling me these symptoms that I'm going to have. I went downhill after releasing my faith that no way am I going to have this for the rest of my life. No way is this going to be here for at least a year. And it got worse and kept getting worse for weeks. But you know what I did? Stuck with it. I understood that just because I released my faith and woke up the next day worse doesn't mean it's not working. Stick with it. Don't turn the mixer off. La, la, la. That's the mixer, the tongue. Keep it going. Keep releasing your faith. Stick with it, praise God. What about this thing in my body for the last 2 years? That wasn't an instantaneous miracle. It was progressive, and as I look back, I see, okay, I can see. Now, it was really pronounced the last week or two that when I really started to have space and times, I was like, wow, it hasn't been as intense, and it was getting lesser and lesser, and I thought I was just maybe having a good spell. You know, it's naturally it seemed that way. It was a progressive miracle, but it was a miracle. This guy didn't get it. This kid didn't get it all in one, but he got it. And the Bible said that was a miracle. Why? Somebody believed. So don't let up, people. Amen. Praise God. Stick with it. Keep your foot to the gas. Right? Keep the switch of faith turned on. And if you need to get back in faith, get back in faith. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. We're so grateful. So thankful. These are truths that will help us. These are truths that will change our lives. And so, Father, we're just so thankful for the opportunity to share the Word of God. Father, these are life-changing principles that people need to straighten their thinking out with, Father. So many people have wrong thinking. So many people are thinking they can't do it. I mean, Father, I think about this message tonight. And Lord, you know, that barn, the preaching of it, I don't mean that, because that's something separate for me and you to discuss that. But Father, I'm talking about what you had me share. And as I pray now, it's revealed to me the wrong thinking that was could be corrected in a service like this. From point number one of people not believing in their faith's enough and that they need a minister and that they would need, no, you can do it, to what faith is and how to believe, to receive without it being there, all the way to not the fact that these instant manifestations, it's not the way they work, Father. I pray that the wrong thinking that has held people back in these areas, Father, will get straightened out. And Father, that they'll move into all that you said they can have, and they'll receive it. Opposition doesn't mean it's not coming. Even when it looks worse, I mean, let's be honest, they turned the furnace up 7 times hotter for those 3 men that were going to be burned in that furnace. They could say, well, now we're really in trouble. No, it didn't matter that it looked worse. It didn't matter that they came out of slavery. And here they came out of Egypt, and it seemed like, wow, we're free finally, only to be at the foot of a body of water that looks like it's going to drown us. It didn't matter that it looked like it got worse. You were still working, Father. Praise God. So we just say, you're working in our bodies. You're working in our finances. You're working in our families. And you're working in our situations. Now come on and release your faith that way. You're working in our bodies. You're working in our families. You're working in our money. And you're working in our situations. Praise God. Come on and just stir yourself up. Just stir yourself up. Just because you can't see it, just because you can't feel it, just because you can't touch it, just because it seems so far off, He's working. He's working in my body. He's working in my money. He's working in my family. He's working in my circumstances. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Father. You're working. I don't care that it looks like it's getting worse. I don't care that it looks like it's not changing. I don't care that years keep going. It doesn't matter. You're working in my body. You're working in my money. You're working in my family. And you're working in my circumstances. Praise God. Things are changing. Things in my body are changing. Things in my money are changing. Things in my family are changing. Things in my circumstances are changing. Praise God. If any of those things apply to you, just grab a hold of them. Just grab a hold of them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, everyone in here I know is born again. But if you're watching online right now and you're not saved, you've not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't know that you'd go to heaven, but you can say, Pastor, I do believe in Jesus. I just don't know if I've ever received Him. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I want to make it simple for you because the Bible makes it simple. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 is the outline of how to be saved. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. So right now, if you say, I do believe in Jesus, I believe He's real, I want to receive Him. Again, you're not joining this church. You're not, you know, it's not making some life-altering decision of anything natural that He's looking for you to change right now. It's of the heart. Do you believe in Jesus? If you do, just cry out to Him. He said, if you call on my name, Romans 10:13, you'll be saved. So I encourage you, when this message is over, get in a quiet place, an alone place with Him, and cry out to Him and say, Father, I believe You. I believe in Jesus. I believe He died and rose again. And I ask Him to come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. If you'll pray that and mean it, He'll save you. Praise God. He'll come in. He'll be a dad to you. He'll help you. Just send me an email. Give me a phone call, and we'll get you set up in your next steps with Him. He loves you so much. Things we talked about tonight, things like healing, things like deliverance, things like prosperity, He's given these things to us to receive. We just got to learn how to be skillful with them. Let's just praise Him real quick. Hallelujah. We worship You, Father. We magnify You and glorify You. We love You so much. We praise Your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Well,